Well, I was really thinking that the Ledfins were getting a little girl, and you should have seen my wife's face when she found out that they had a little girl. I don't think they got quite the rise out of my face, because I was thinking that it was going to be a girl. But it was wonderful to see my wife's face as she was elated to see or hear that you guys had a little girl. And we are excited to get to know her and watch you guys raise her and the whole Ledfin clan. So if you don't know who I am, I'm Tyler, and I am a deacon here at Submerged Church. And today I'm going to be talking about love. And I absolutely enjoy talking about this topic. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. When I talk to married couples, engaged couples, I love to ask them about their love story. I love to ask, how did you meet? How did you fall in love? Tell me your story, because it's just amazing to hear how people from really different families, different areas, different walks of life, end up meeting and falling in love. And it's just one of those sweet things. So when I talk about love, I also think about our relationship with God and our love life with God. And if we're honest with ourselves, our love life with God most likely looks a lot more like a heartbeat monitor than it does an increasing climb. And that's okay, as long as your dips come back up. And if you think about it, like the stock market in the last 30 years, September 1990, the stock market was at 4,740. Today, the Dow Jones is at 27,219. That's over five times the amount, right? Now, if you look at a short span, even the last few years, it's kind of volatile. But if you look over the last three, 4 years, you even add a couple years, all of a sudden there's this trend of a climb. So the reality comes in our love life. With Christ, it's not going to be this smooth relationship. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be highs and lows. But we want to remember that we want to keep trending upwards. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And if you don't feel like your relationship with the Lord is at a high point right now, then it's good, because today we're going to talk about how to get your relationship back towards that high point. And if you're not a believer, well, then that's a great thing to be here today too, because talking about God's love is the perfect way to hear about Christ. So Paul read Ephesians 3:17 to 19. Let's read that again. All right. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now that scripture right there is a prayer, asking God would help them to be able to grasp. It says how wide, long, high, deep the love of Christ is. To know this love, this kind of love that surpasses knowledge, that we can't even completely understand it. Now, we can get confused because it says the full knowledge, but we can't really fully understand God's love, right? We can't fully understand God. What it really means, like in Matthew 22:37, that it says, love the Lord your God with all your might. I'll just read it. Don't want to misstate it. Love the Lord with all your God, with your heart, soul, and mind. It is us loving Christ with our whole being, and that we will grasp as much as we can of God and his love. It's not that we'll grasp and understand all of him. It's with our whole being. So it's more about all of us loving him and grasping at him, because he already loves us beyond any amount that we can measure. And that's amazing, that his love is so pure and powerful that we can't fully even understand it. Paul wrote this letter to the Gentiles because he had experienced what it is to experience Jesus firsthand, to know him, to be loved by him, to experience God's love. And he prayed that they would be able to, the Gentiles, experience that as well. I want you to think about something in your life that was so good or amazing or maybe even surprising that you just wanted to share it with others. And I can think of numerous different things that is exciting in my life that has happened, and I just want to share it with others. One, when Becky and I got married, we, on our honeymoon, went down to Austin, Texas, and I showed her around to a lot of different places that I really enjoyed, that I worked at. I took her to a bunch of restaurants, and she tried a bunch of food that she's never tried before, because I wanted her to experience some of the things that I really enjoyed. And it is natural for us to want to share the great things in our life with others. Paul was wanting to share the greatest thing, the best thing that one could ever experience, Christ's love, God's love, to experience God. The reason I'm talking about love today is that when you were first saved, and I think about when I was first saved, I think about how hungry I was. When I first got saved, I was down in Austin, and I was working security at a TV series, Friday Night Lights. I was a security guard there, and I was watching an empty set, and it was a parking lot, the back of one of the sets that they had done a shooting on, and I was just by myself. It was the middle of the night. I was there for 12 hours, and I just broke down and prayed to Christ to come and take over my life. After that, I was hungry to get to know God. I was hungry and passionate to know what it is to know God's love, to have him direct my life. I went out and went to a bookstore, a used bookstore, and I grabbed a Bible. And whenever I was making decisions, one of the decisions I felt like I was a rut in my life. I was just stuck. And I was like, God, I need to move forward. I don't know where to go from here. And I said, well, you know what? I need you to give me some wisdom on that. And so what I did is I just randomly grabbed the Bible and I shoved my thumb in it and I just started reading and reading until I felt like he gave me an answer, until he spoke to me. Another time somebody asked me for money and I was like, you know what? Shove my finger in the Bible. And of course, this is when I did not know anything about the Bible. So it wasn't like I was steering myself to a verse to go, okay, well, God wants me to be generous or God wants me to be a good steward or whatnot. I just was randomly grabbing the Bible and I said, God, speak to me. And at that time, he was wanting me to be generous and I gave some money and it happened again. I remember the third time somebody asked me for money, it actually was talking about being a good steward with what I had. I was like, I don't think God wants me to give this money out. It was crazy, right? I wanted so much to know what God had for my life, right? That was a passion and a hunger that if you had that when you were first saved, and you think about where your life is right now, where your love life with Christ is at right now, where's that measure? If you're not there, if you're not as high as you were before, what's holding you back? If you never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then let's talk about God and love. And so that's what we're talking about today, is falling in love with God, with Jesus, all over again. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. By the very definition, God equals love. That is hard to fathom, grasp. God is love. And not the kind of love that the world talks about. No. I'm talking true love. I'm talking agape love. I'm talking love that doesn't fade away. My family had an incident that happened that I'm not going to share, but one of the things that we talked about as a family was God's unfailing love. Just, He will not fail us. His love does not fail us. And it was so true about that situation. And it wasn't Becky and I, our immediate family, it was extended family. But the truth is that no matter what happens in our lives, God is there for us. The ups, the downs, and He wants to experience both sides. You know, I think about, because God is love, if you have a relationship to experience Him, you will experience love. If you experience God, you experience love. Now, I never went on a dating website and signed up for any of those, and I know people who have, and it's fine. But I've heard that there's a tagline that you get to put on, like a little catchphrase. Imagine God's. To experience me is to experience love. I don't think you'd stay single very long. That would be an amazing tagline right there. I think a lot of people would click that profile. To experience me is to experience love. It may sound corny, but I think people would click on it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is a very, very popular scripture. I just read this scripture, actually, for my nephew who just got married. And I was honored to be able to read the scripture there. So let's start at verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Let's just stop there. If I don't have love, or I have not love, I am nothing and I gain nothing. Wow. If I don't have God, then I am nothing and I gain nothing. That's a double wow. It's not that I'm not very good. It's not that I'm mediocre. I am nothing. Let's go on. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When I went through premarriage with Bob, one of the things that we talk about is to try not to use those absolutes, the always, the every times, especially if you're describing something you're unhappy with your spouse or something like that. You always do this or you never do that. You know what? That doesn't fit with God. He is absolute. He always, God always, love always. It never, we can count on that. It is even breathtaking to think about that someone would care about us so much. And it's because God being love, love is in his very fiber of his being. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus laid his life down for us, as Pastor Paul mentioned. When I was in the military, that was the kind of loyalty, friendship that we just understood a bond that we would have, is that we may lay our lives down for each other, that we would trust each other, that we didn't have to worry if the other person had your back. There was a saying when we would make moves. We would, in partners, move so somebody would be hiding behind a rock or a tree and start firing, and the other guy would get up and move to a new position and then get down, and he would start firing. And what we would say is, cover me while I move. And the other guy would yell back, got you covered. All right? So we trusted each other with our lives. I'm moving. I need you to suppress the enemy so they don't shoot at me. They don't kill me. Trusted each other with their lives. Christ laid down his life for us. And if you get hung up on the fact that he calls us friends, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't know if I'm his friend. God goes on in 14 to call us friends. And in 15, he continues on with it, saying that he has given us the plans. He has given us his word. He says we are his friends. And that's why in verse 13, he's talking about us. We are his friend. Though we are his children, we are his love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus gave up his life. God gave up his one and only son so that we could spend an eternity with him. Still gets my heart pumping to think about that kind of love for me. And you know, my worry, not worry that like it keeps me up at night, not the worry, but my thought on this for you and me is that we would allow ourselves to fall out of love or forget or let our love for Christ dwindle. A verse that I keep close to my heart is 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to end the race still in love with Christ. I still want to be pursuing him. The Gottman Institute did an article on steps to falling in love all over again. And this was nothing about falling in love with God, but as I read over them, it was very easily to plug in Christ into these steps. So I'll go over them with you. There's 16 practical ways. One, schedule a date and do something you don't normally do with God. Now you can see how this could pertain to your spouse as well. But this is, we're talking about God. Two, practice the daily 60-second blessings, a daily habit of affirming the positive qualities of God. Number three, communicate with him throughout the day randomly. You know, as we did our last study with Peter, he talked about them as office. What was it, Paul? Office? Daily office. That's right. That was the phrase he used. And I was just saying, throughout the day, keep communicating with Christ. Number four, meditate and just be with God. Just be. Five, compliment or even brag about him in front of others. How often do you do that? I can tell you that when my wife talks about me in a positive way, and usually she does, I don't know if, I can't say that I've heard or not, but it makes me proud. It really builds me up. It does the same for the relationship with God. He doesn't need it. It actually benefits us. Number six, start a new hobby with God. Number seven, show appreciation. It goes a long way. Or be thankful. Number eight, go for a prayer walk. This is like going for a walk with a loved one holding hands. Write down positive qualities about him and post it around your house. Plan a vacation together. Number 10, plan a vacation together or a getaway or a dog day, a day away with God. Number 11, dream together. Write down your goals and things that you want to do with Christ. Number 12, this is one that hits very close to home. Less screen time, more prayer and word time, more face time with God. 13, reminisce about things that you've already done together, amazing times that you've already had. Do a Bible study on the attributes of God to learn more about him, about heaven. Remember, heaven was God's idea, and he created to share with us for eternity. It's good and right to think about it, to dream about it, to ponder it, to let him know. Remember to stay thirsty, to keep getting to know him. 15, try out a new version of the Bible. It may say something in the Bible that you, in a way that you never thought about it. 16, go on retreats or conferences that can unite you with other believers, praising and worshiping him. Those 16 steps, they're obviously not all-encompassing, but they're really nice, practical ways to continue falling in love with God all over again. I'm going to finish with a quote that I never thought I would quote, a person I never thought I'd quote. But it's from Bob Marley. Once in your life, I truly believe you can find someone who can completely turn your world around. You tell them things that you've never shared with another soul. They absorb everything you say and actually want to hear more. You share hopes for the future, dreams that will never come true, goals that were never achieved, and the many disappointments life has thrown at you. When something wonderful happens, you can't wait to tell them about it, knowing they will share in your excitement. They are not embarrassed to cry with you when you are hurting or laugh when you make a fool of yourself. Never do they hurt your feelings, make you feel like you're not good enough. But rather, they build you up and show you the things about yourself that make you special and even beautiful. There's never any pressure, jealousy, or competition, but only a quiet calmness when they are around. You can be yourself and not worry about what they think of you because they love you for who you are. The things that seem insignificant to most people, such as a note, song, or walk, become invaluable treasures kept safe in your heart to cherish forever. Memories of your childhood come back and are so clear and vivid, it's like being young again. Colors seem bright, more brilliant. Laughter seems part of daily life, where before it was infrequent and didn't exist at all. A phone call or two during the day helps you get through your day, through a long day's work, always brings a smile to your face. In their presence, there's no need for continuous conversation, but you find yourself quite content just having them nearby. Things that never interested you before become fascinating because you know they are important to this person who's so special to you. You think of this person on every occasion, in everything you do. Simple things bring them to mind, like a pale blue sky, gentle wind, or even a storm cloud on the horizon. You open your heart knowing that there's a chance it may be broken one day, and in opening your heart, you experience a love and joy that you've never dreamed possible. You find that being vulnerable is the only way to allow your heart to feel true pleasure that is real, that it scares you. You find strength in knowing that you have a true friend, possibly a soulmate who will remain loyal to the end. Life seems completely different and exciting and worthwhile. Your only hope and security is knowing that they are a part of your life. God is our only hope and is our security, knowing that he needs to be a part of our life. Let's pray before we go to communion. Father, we need you. We love you. You love us. And we don't deserve it. And we should be so thankful for what you did and how you love us that we should just, with every fiber of our being, pursue you. Unfortunately, we fail, and you love us anyway. We thank you for that. I pray as we move forward that we would take a few steps to continue falling in love with you every day. And falling in love with you again. As we take this communion, Lord, as we think about this cup and the sacrifice that you gave dying on the cross, your blood and your body, Lord, that wreaked havoc on you, Lord, as you were crucified, Lord, is the greatest example of love. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.